Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Friday, January 23rd. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. I mean, politics in the Bahamas is hot. Today, I'm going to move from that today to talk some regional politics, some regional drama, and I want you to join me with this conversation. I'm talking not necessarily conspiracy theories, but asking why. Why did this happening? What's the other shoe to be dropped, right? I have one or two articles I want to read about one or two Caribbean nations. They come from various news sources. I'm going to read them into the record, right? And hopefully I'll be able to pause here and there to have the listening audience call in and give me their opinions on what is being truly said behind the scenes, the intended. There are times when these media press releases tend to be biased. I accept that it's possible that the news source may be biased on this, but I'm going to read it. We can leave the interpretation of what is being said to you. Right, so let me get the first article up. It has, let me see who it's by. It's by something called the Haiti Libre, HaitiLibre.com. That's where the article is coming from. It says the headline is Haiti Flash, then colon. Trump forces seven Caribbean countries to welcome expelled asylum seekers. And of course, it's coming from the Haiti Libre.com. Haiti News, 7 of 7. The United States government has concluded pressure negotiations with seven member countries of the Caribbean community, CARICOM, Guyana, Dominica, St. Lucia, Antigua, and Barbuda, Belize, St. Kitts, and Nevis and Barbados. These agreements aim to guarantee the reception of asylum seekers deported from the United States and unable to return to their country of origin. Terence Drew, Prime Minister of St. Kitts and Nevis, highlighted the challenges of these tense negotiations. Countries refusing to cooperate are exposed to indirect sanctions from the United States, including restrictions on visas and difficulties in international banking exchanges, correspondent banking, and that in quotes. Delicate decisions between economic pragmatism and political submission. I pause there to recognize the quotes, where it says, in quotation, countries refusing to cooperate are exposed to indirect sanctions from the United States, including restrictions on visas. And we have heard that being referenced in the Bahamas regarding the Cuban medical practitioners and the threat of possible visas restrictions. And this is interesting. And the difficulties in international banking exchanges. And I want to ask the listening audience, if the Bahamas is challenged or such sanctions is proposed to the Bahamas, and our government have to make some tough decisions regarding such, is having visas restrictions and having challenges with doing banking operations, right, not being able to use your credit card to make any kind of purchase at all, not being able to transfer money back and forth. Is this something that the Bahamians can accept and deal with and tolerate? I will continue the article. The signatory countries of the agreement have negotiated conditions, obligatory clean criminal record for each refugee. And we're talking about the Caribbean nations, and these are the things that they propose to the United States. Clean criminal records for each refugee, full funding by the United States, transport, accommodations, food, and aid, and priority to nationals of the CARICOM zone in the situation of migratory impasse. So the agreement, we find these Caribbean nations saying that the United States, if they send in refugees, right, they would have to take care of the refugees, right? And they went in detail about what they mean by taking care of them. They have to pay for their transport, pay for their accommodation, pay for their food and aid. And they're asking that whoever you send to the Caribbean or to these seven countries, they want them to come from the CARICOM zone. That'll be their focus. So the Barbadian government does not hide its dissatisfaction. Kerry Simmons, Minister of Foreign Affairs, describes the agreement signed as unwilling, highlighting the pressure exerted by Washington, which is difficult for small island economies to ignore. I know the Bahamas was pressed to join this, and our Prime Minister said no. I find it interesting that Barbados said yes, and I want to know what was the true pressure that the Bahamas was able to say no. But our sister nations, in particular Barbados, right, especially with their Prime Minister, Mia Motley, who's supposed to be the strong force of the Caribbean, who's not afraid to say what she wants to say in the Caribbean. How come that she relented and is allowing these asylum seekers into Barbados? I just found that interesting. I'm saying hopefully the listening audience would be able to give me a reason on that. Antigua and Barbuda impose a cap of 10 asylum seekers per year. They said those asylum seekers need to be fluency in English and mandatory professional training, initial right of residence limited to 24 months termination clause within 90 days. Terence Drew, Prime Minister of St. Kitts and Nevis and current president of CARICOM, announced that his country will not receive Haitian refugees. And again, I can read that as this is Terence Drew, and it's a quote. As a parent, Terence Drew, who's Prime Minister of St. Kitts and Nevis, and the current president of CARICOM, announced that his country will not receive Haitian refugees, citing security concerns. This course followed in the Caribbean. Of course, there was a number of protests by Haitian nationals saying Haiti is a part of the CARICOM. Why are they showing discrimination? And there's a number of protests within his countries and a number of other CARICOM nations saying that if you're going to accept CARICOM citizens, Haiti also should be included. And we don't discriminate against our fellow CARICOM nations. And again, I want the listening audience to comment on that particularly. If we are to accept refugees in the Bahamas, can we do a caveat to say, well, we'll take everyone else or limited skilled laborers from everyone else, but Haitians need not apply. Would that be the stance of the Bahamas, or we would allow more refugees to come from that particular country? Continuing the article. This decision highlights tensions between CARICOM, where Haitian immigration is sometimes seen as a silent invasion. Guyana, in a full economic growth, sees this situation as an opportunity. The country faces a labor shortage, is seeking to attract nearly 80,000 qualified workers as opportunity for Bahamians who want to immigrate someplace else because Guyana is short labor. However, this initiative arouses strong criticism from local opposition who denounces the reception of people whom other countries do not want. The Organization of Eastern Caribbean States, the OECS, has established a technical term to oversee the implementation of these agreements, The United States has set a cap of 7,500 refugees for this relocation program for the year 2026. End of the article. Reading that last part again, 7,500 refugees, United States is poising to send to the Caribbean and to those seven states that I mentioned earlier. I have one more article I want to read, but I'm going to go to the phone lines, have the phone lines join into this conversation. And also I'm going to go to the text line. And the question is, what do you think the Bahamas would have done? Why didn't the Bahamas sign on to this? How come Barbados sign on to this, particularly having Mia Motley as their prime minister? What does this mean for the Caribbean? Why isn't Haiti being welcome? Haitian nationals, Haitian refugees. And why aren't these Caribbean nations accepting their citizens? If you're a citizen being deported, of course you're supposed to welcome them. So I'm not sure if this protest is even needed, because I'm sure these countries will accept their citizens. Let's go to the phone line there. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Go ahead, caller. You're live. Kermit, pass it to the front. I can't hear it from this one. Go ahead, Kwai. I can hear you now.
Hey, great show, as usual. See, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Right. Okay. My take on this whole situation about accepting the people, right? It doesn't have to do with the nationality. I don't care if it's Indian, American, Cuban, Russian. The reality of the situation is Nassau can't afford one more person in Nassau. You realize how long it took me to get from Coral Harbor to out east? Going Carmichael Road on Saturday.
But we know the reason for that.
For 2.5 hours.
But we know the reason.
Can't afford one more human being in Nassau.
But we know the reason for that.
We're trying to get rid of the people in Nassau now. We're trying to send them in Nagua or someplace else. We can't afford one more parcel. Too much people in Nassau. We just can't. We can't do it. Nassau is just overpopulated. And just the healthcare system can't take it.
It isn't
a matter of nationality. We just can't absorb any more human population.
You ready?
Yes, sir.
I don't believe Nassau is overpopulated.
You don't think so?
I can tell you the reason. I was going to tell you the reason why it seems to be so much traffic. We're not planned out. We have about maybe 250,000, maybe near 300,000. About 250,000 people living in Nassau, in places like Manhattan, which is smaller than New Providence. They have like 3-4 million. And there's no traffic like that. The idea we need to be planned. Old West don't have no traffic. Everybody want to live central. And that's why there seems to be traffic. Now, hold on. If we had a better transportation system, right, where not everyone who wouldn't want to have cars would be on the road, then you see there'll be less traffic. That's a planned issue, not necessarily a population issue.
Yeah, but see, the reality situation is, right, everyone on Nassau ain't planned. You live in Fox
and make it plan. Make it
you
plan.
You have to leave home about 7 o'clock or 6 something in the morning to 8 to 9. Nassau is too crowded.
It's not crowded. It's just not planned.
I don't care what you say. We cannot absorb any more person. It doesn't matter the nationality. Mm-hmm. It isn't the fact that it's Haitian or whatever. We just cannot absorb it. Mm-hmm. The healthcare can't absorb it.
I hear you. And thank you very much, Colin.
That's my opinion.
Nothing wrong with that. I appreciate it. And that's an opinion to consider. On Bay Street alone, we have additional 1 million plus tourists who come onto our shores, which is push our population from 400,000 to maybe nearing 2 million people, right, for one given year. We can hold more people if we plan out this nation, plan out the streets, plan out traffic. But that's something different. We're talking about refugees and why didn't the Bahamas join in onto this? And whether we would have joined St. Kitts, I think it was St. Kitts. Yes, St. Kitts. Regarding, say, man, we could take everybody else from the Caribbean, but we're not taking any more Haitian nationals in particular. I want to know if that would have been the stance of the Bahamas. And if it was the stance of the Bahamas, would we as Bahamians accept that? We have another caller there. Guiding Radio AM. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Great. My only thing would be with the flux of more refugees into the country is security and documentation issues.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we don't do a good job of that. And that would be my primary concern. If you invite a large mass set of refugees, how would we track them?
Mm-hmm.
We have a long-standing history of dating back decades where persons are being allowed into the interior of this country, and we don't know where they are. And so just from a security standpoint, until such time we could somehow devise a way so we could properly track the persons we have in now who may jump the border or whatever, I wouldn't welcome that. Because right now, we can't manage the persons we have. To me, it's a security risk. My last point, yeah. I mean,
go ahead,
I know you guys have a lot of calls, be it someone raped a little child or molested a child, or we don't know who we have there. They melt back into the interior somewhere and we can't track them. That's an issue. Someone who has a child, I wouldn't want that. Now, if we could track them properly, yes, but seeing the trend that we have been going on, I would welcome that. Not until such time we could find some type of way to properly document and track persons into this country.
Let me ask you this. We know we have an increase of behemoths, and I put the behemoths in quotations, because you know exactly when I said behemoths in quotation. We have a number of behemoths who are being deported back to the Bahamas, their place of origin. Do you have a problem of behemoths being deported back home, even if they have a criminal record?
If they're behemoths, even then, I think you should probably track behemoths who have done violent crimes or whatever, be it pedos or whatever. I think persons who went abroad in someone else's country and commit heinous murders or crime in itself, you should track them in such time that they may have, you could see that there wouldn't be any threat to our society. Because just because you have the behemoth moniker don't necessarily means that you have, you're truly behemoth. Because we know the documentation or being a card carrier of behemoth don't necessarily mean you got those documents properly. So to me, everything's coming back to being able to track persons coming into your country, so as if, even tracking statistics as it relates to crime with the influx of these refugees, being able to have proper statistics to say, hold on, did the crime numbers went up or did it remain the same? But we don't do a good job of that as a stand. So that's my primary thing, security for...
And I accept that argument. Last question before you go.
Mm-hmm.
All what you said being true,
mm-hmm.
separate as a true, right?
Mm-hmm.
What should we do to persons with behemian status or behemian citizenship who've been deported back to the Bahamas, and they're at the airport? You have raised your same concerns. The concerns I give is warranted. What should we do? What should our government say to the United States when they said these are your citizens and we're deporting them back to the Bahamas?
Us being a sovereign country, we should ask or ask the United States to give us whatever time period we get to be able to put the proper security protocols in place as it relates to even being able to house these persons properly, because just allowed a lot of flux of persons into your country without proper housing or where they're going to go will only compound the issues that we have in now. So suggestion is those diplomats who may be able to have a meeting with U.S. counterparts and say, listen, give a time period where we can get our technologies in place, our tracking in place, even housing in place. And we're not saying that we wouldn't have them in, but we can't right now. That would be my suggestion.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
No problem.
Thanks again. I read some text and we go into the next article. This text says, Nuri, if you are not aware, America is paying out plenty free money to accept and house refugees. Caribbean countries are taking advantage of the much needed windfall. So perhaps that's why they accepted the refugees, or possibly will accept the refugees. CA, President Trump is a transactional dealer. Just because the Prime Minister of the Bahamas said no to the refugees being sent to the Bahamas doesn't mean that the U.S. will not tell the Bahamas what the U.S. wants in return for not sending refugees. The U.S. might want the Bahamas to allow SpaceX to continue to use Exuma for rocket flights or some other deal that the Bahamas can't say no to. We love conspiracies, so, but anything is possible. Babies are being born today. More people are already being added. That's the text there. Says, hi, CA. So if the Bahamas didn't take part in the agreement to accept the refugees, why did the governing party just rush the asylum bill through the House of Assembly the other day? There was no asylum bill at all. At all. There was no asylum bill. I'm not sure why people continue to say it, even though it's being explained again and again and again and again and again. There is no asylum bill. So to your question, why did the government rush the asylum bill? There was none. So I don't know what to say. Let's go to the callers now. Garden Radio AM, you're on the line, caller. You're live. You're live, caller. Go ahead.
Sorry. No, I didn't call in reference to the show, actually.
Okay, you want to place hold and go back to the producer there. So this text says, the Bahamas will capitulate when your foreign exchange facility is threatened and the result is detrimental. Trump is a bully, the person said. But this one said, basically the text said that definitely the Bahamas will capitulate when our foreign exchange facility is threatened. If there's an announcement, if the United States declare that Visa, MasterCard, American Express will not, no transaction using credit cards is going to be allowed. That means all the hotels should be shut down. Only cash to be allowed. Surely, one must assume, one must concede that more than likely the Bahamas would have no other choice but to capitulate. What do we do if our banking system is threatened? No visas, no MasterCards, you know, no banking transaction, no sending money abroad, no paying in terms of exchange to do business, commerce. Surely that's a reason itself to capitulate. Go ahead, caller, Garden Radio AM.
Yes, sir. Good day.
Doing well. How you doing?
Not bad. You know, the Trump don't have to threaten them type of things. All they have to do is threaten our pre-clearance. And we sell our souls for that.
And a number of people, mind you, pre-clearance is not for Bahamians to know. Pre-clearance is for U.S. citizens to have an ease of doing business and coming to and from the Bahamas. We just happen to benefit from the Americans having pre-clearance. And we are, the concern about pre-clearance is to have, we don't want our tourists to be frustrated and say, man, to come to the Bahamas. Because right now, to just leave the country, you have to be checking 2.5 hours before time. And if you go there later than 2.5 hours, you might miss your flight. That's how long.
Understood, you know, but that's mentioned a lot. But besides that, right, I feel like the Bahamas, right, or the Caribbean should have a, what you call it, trade, and what you call it, free customs. What's the name of that?
The CSME.
Right. You see, and see, the problem is, the issue is, right, all we need is to preserve our sovereignty to elect our governments. You see, I don't see why we can't help our neighbors without giving them the right to vote, them and their offspring. You understand me? That's our immigration problem. Our immigration issue ain't the numbers, right? It's our right. It's giving away your citizenship and your right to vote. You see? But, you know, we have some people, they call themselves nationalists, but yet they big on foreign direct investment.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And they don't realize that a nationalist, Hitler was a nationalist, a Christian nationalist, is precisely. You understand me? And Hitler, Hitler was supposed to be a socialist too. You see, but the nationalist part of it, the Christian nationalist part of it, is what was his downfall. You see? But anyway, thank you much, man.
I appreciate the call. I think in the Caribbean, and us who are a part of developing nations, we tend to embrace first world, second world definitions and terms without fully understanding what it is. And a number of these terms do not reflect what is happening here in the Bahamas. But because we don't create our own terms that explain our situations, and our academics are not doing what they're supposed to do in terms of defining who we are as a people, we find that we seek out foreign terms, and then we force fit these foreign terms, you know, to explain who we are. And I think that's doing us a disservice. Okay, this text says, good morning, Mr. Nuri. One of the major issues in the Bahamas is the residency of illegal immigrants in the Bahamas. Remember the Honorable Loftus Roker statement and the former PM Minnis? The Bahamas is for what? Hold on for me. Residency of illegal immigrants in the Bahamas. Remember the Honorable Loftus Roker's statement and former PM Minnis? The Bahamas is for what it is and corruption stands. From Grand Bahama, we are listening today. Okay. I didn't really understand the last part there, Texter. This text says, hey, CA, as soon as Trump touched down in Davos, the Greenland saga was over right away. Looks like everyone is happy with the framework agreement. Okay. This is next article. This next article is from the Miami Herald. MiamiHerald.com. The title of the article is St. Kitts and Nevis agrees to take U.S. migrants, but says no to Haitians, but says no Haitians allowed. Jacqueline Charles. And this is written on January 13th, 2026. And it is basically CARICOM issues, regional issues, and the tensions, that's my word, that CARICOM is seemingly having with Haiti. And even though that Haiti is a full member of CARICOM, it seems that there's a disconnect. And we, as a CARICOM nation, need to investigate this disconnect, right? You can't say all of the CARICOM you're welcoming and then exclude one particular CARICOM member, and especially one without no explanation. What do you mean by security issues? What security issues are you talking about? And you need to explain that. So if the Haitian government is made aware, perhaps they can correct it. Perhaps the United States can lend assistance to correct that. But you can't say, well, we're not taking any Haitians at all. But should we have the right to reserve? If the Bahamas have to participate inside this exercise in the future, can we say we'll take one or two Jamaicans, one or two Bajans, one or two St. Kittians or Trinidadians, right? But we ain't want no more Haitians at all, or we only taking one. And that one needs to be a skilled worker. Can't be a laborer. We have plenty of laborers here already. He got to be one doctor, a lawyer. Or if he can't be that, a good tradesman, or we not taking him. And my question is, what would be the reason for a CARICOM nation or a Caribbean nation would reject its citizen? Right? If you from Jamaica, right, and the United States is deporting you, you get deported to Jamaica. Why would Jamaica say, no, we ain't taking that one? And why should we as the Bahamas, and I'm just making an example of this, say, okay, since you don't want to take your own citizen, we will take this citizen, this Jamaican citizen, and host them for 1 year, 2 years, until the world find out what we'll be doing with this particular refugee. But to this article. So two more Caribbean countries have entered into agreements with the Trump administration to accept asylum seekers deported from the United States, with one leader explicitly saying Haitians are not welcome. St. Kitts and Nevis Prime Minister Terrence Drew said that his government has agreed to accept a very small number of third country nationals from the U.S., as long as they are citizens of the 15-member CARICOM community known as CARICOM, and are not sexual predators, have no violent backgrounds, and are not Haitians. This does not involve any body outside of CARICOM, Drew said, as I said at a news conference late last week. This is in keeping with our character. And I will further say that because of security matters, it does not include Haiti at this time. He reiterated Haiti's exclusion at three separate points during the briefing. The exclusion of Haitian national marks the first public acknowledgement by a CARICOM member state that it has placed explicit limits on accepting nationals from Haiti, which is a member of the bloc of mostly former British colonies in their negotiations with Washington. Though Caribbean governments are known for their exclusion of Haitians and even rejections once they arrive on their shores, what makes the latest development surprising is that Drew is currently the chairman of the regional bloc. On Monday, seemingly addressing the firestorm over the agreement with the United States and Haiti exclusion, he said, in approaching diplomacy, one has to evaluate very carefully what are the risks and benefits. My first objective always is to protect St. Kitts and Nevis and our people, he added. Any decision that is made with that in mind. Drew has acknowledged that the Caribbean countries are agreeing to accept their own nationals. This raises questions about the scope and substance of the island nation's third-party agreement, which the United States has been aggressively pursuing across the region to expand destinations for asylum seekers and refugees kicked out of the United States who cannot return to their countries of origin. The third-party agreement. So far, six CARICOM countries, Antigua and Barbuda, Belize, Dominica, Guyana, St. Kitts and Nevis, and St. Lucia, have announced that they have entered into an agreement with Washington to accept migrants. On Sunday, St. Lucia recently re-elected Prime Minister Philip J. Pierre, confirmed that his government had signed a non-binding memorandum of understanding with the United States to potentially accept certain third country nationals deported by the Trump administration. We believe that stability is best secured through dialogue, diplomacy, and respect for established international norms, Pierre said during a national address announcing the decision. We'll continue to work with our regional partners to safeguard the Caribbean as a zone of peace. St. Lucia's foreign policy remains rooted in diplomacy, cooperation, and mutually beneficial shared interests. St. Lucia, Antigua, Dominica, and St. Kitts, in addition to being in the Eastern Caribbean, all have citizenship by investment programs, which allows foreigners to acquire citizenship with investment ranging from $100,000 to $250,000. The program has come under fire from the Trump administration, which has used its concerns over a lack of vetting and transparency as leverage with the Caribbean governments. In December, both Antigua and Dominica were added to a list of countries under partial U.S. travel ban under Trump. After Trump issued an executive order citing their CBI programs. All the Caribbean countries have negotiated their own condition for accepting refugees deported from the United States who cannot return to their countries of origin. But only Antigua has publicly detailed the perimeter governing its agreement with the U.S. According to a letter Antigua's government wrote to senior State Department official Michael Kozak, the Caribbean country says it will only consider taking in designated refugees under U.S. law or registered asylum seekers with pending non-frivolous applications recognized by U.S. authorities who have no criminal convictions other than immigration status offenses, have no pending criminal charges, are not subject to sex offender registration, are not on terrorism, organized crime or sanctions lists, and are not otherwise excludable on security grounds. Individuals who must possess a certified individuals also must possess a certified skill or professional license recognized by the relevant regulatory authorities of Antigua and Barbuda, and have at least basic working proficiency in English. I know a number of Bahamians are complaining that a number of those people who are being sworn in as citizens have issues with speaking the English language. Let me continue the article. There is no mention of nationality in the letter. Status will be granted for no more than 24 months unless mutual consent is given for an extension. If the transferee and immediate family have not arrived self-sufficiency by the end of the 24th month, Antigua and Barbuda may request their return. The United States shall accept such return. Look, this is interesting. The United States shall accept such return and arrange transport within 30 days, securing all travel documents and covering all costs, the letter said. Questions about Haiti's place. Other countries have yet to provide details of their agreement, but so far, only St. Kitts and Nevis, a country with a population of about 46,000 people, has publicly confirmed that the exclusion of Haitians, reviving long-standing questions about Haiti's place within the CARICOM. Neither Haiti's foreign minister nor the prime minister office responded to Miami Herald's request for comment. The decision has prompted debate online over what critics describe as moral contradictions in a region that often positions itself as Haiti's advocate. The bloc is currently leading discussion about the country's political transition after February 7th, while excluding the French-speaking country from the practical implementation of regional policies. CARICOM's single market and economy, which allows the free movement of goods and services, excluding Haiti, while member states continue to deny Haitian nationals visa-free travel to their countries. Peterson Benjamin Nicole, a former Haitian ambassador to CARICOM, said many member states, including St. Kitts and Nevis, remain reluctant to accept Haitian nationals, viewing them as a form of silent invasion. That apprehension, he said, is particularly evident in the Bahamas, the CARICOM country with the largest population of people of Haitian descent, which has declined to join the single market and economy largely because of concerns over the free movement of people. As a result, Noel said, Haiti is often treated less as equal partner in the regional integration than as a vehicle through which CARICOM can project influence internationally. Haiti's integration is framed more as a symbolic or strategic necessity than a genuinely inclusive process, he said. He added that there exists an implicit and often unspoken regional consequences regarding Haiti, one that shapes policy positions while remaining largely absent from formal discourse. This story was originally published in January 12, 2026, in the Miami Herald. The lines are filled. I see I got some texts. Let's go to the phone line to discuss what I just read. That's from the Miami Herald again. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. They mentioned the Bahamas. They're saying something here. We ain't want the people to move around freely in the Caribbean, and that is stopping progress in terms of international influence. Go ahead, caller.
Hi. Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well.
Question to you.
Yeah.
You have a house, right?
I do.
And you allow people to move and weaken, and they ain't paying no bills, but they benefit from everything. Would you accept that?
No.
I think that's the reason why these countries don't want them. You know what I mean? But I want to hear your reasoning about this whole thing right now. I want to hear what you have to say about it.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. I tell
you. Right.
Yes, thank you very much, Colin. I tend to be centered now and allow the government actors to make their decision. I understand the angst about freedom of movement of people. I don't think the Bahamas is prepared, and we are not preparing ourselves readily for the new world order, which will be eventually be freedom of people, freedom of skilled workers. And as long as we are not prepared, as long as we're not making any effort to prepare, we always have anxiety and angst of what will come no matter what. Our job and our duty should be now to be preparing our citizens, making sure that all of our citizens are skilled, making sure all our citizens are educated. And so that means we can't be settling for having a D average in BGCSE. We can't be settling for having behemoths who cannot communicate properly, who cannot be socialized properly, who do not have any type of skill, either soft skill or hard skill in general. So I hear the concern and the angst and the freedom because of the free movement of people, and in this reference, particularly movement of Haitian labor in general. But if we don't prepare ourselves now, we can be overwhelmed because it's coming. Let's go to the next call. Guardian Radio AM, you're live. Go ahead, caller. Let's go to the next call. You're live. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Hello. Turn on your radio and talk to me.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning to you.
It is a great conversation. You said something very crucial. We'll be overwhelmed, right? So I just want the Haitian community, Haitian Bahamians, full-bred Haitians, et cetera, to appreciate the Bahamas and realize that as a result of the stipulations by the other countries as to why they don't want them, right? And we are suffering from that now. And so we see where we have grown up in a number of them, and then they still shouting they're Haitian. And they don't want any allegiance with us, even though they're some. I know a friend of mine who's married to an Haitian lady, and she ended up with everything. So what I'm saying, not basically, just half up, but what I'm saying is, they must appreciate the Bahamas. So all of a sudden now, we have moles here. So I can't blame the country for saying they don't want them. Because, you want to say something?
No, man, listen to you. Go ahead. Keep
So as you talk about free movement of people, let us juxtapose the Leviathans to the north, right? America. Some people say, "Damn America," right? Watch this now. We are not allowed to move freely in there anymore. As we see the scrutiny, so you cannot see the madness that the geopolitics is creating. Whereby I told you guys, see, sometimes you have to read between the lines. What happens is Haiti has a population of 12.something million. Our European colonizers and our neighbors to the north realize that by allowing this, they can destabilize the whole third world subregion by giving just Haiti alone. And so if the Bahamas is one of the smallest nations, why should we end up with the most number of Haitians, numerology-wise? That's what I'm saying is. So then all of this scrutiny about financial status, this is no different from when I'm juxtaposing this, when a poor black man goes to court, we know that money, even as right now, the judges cannot give the discretion in the magistrate court and give bail. You have to go to the Supreme Court and apply for bail, which is about 15 or 10 grand. So I don't want to hear about who's poor and who's impoverished and the reason from the West Indian Federation started from 1959, all these attempts to unify the Caribbean region, right? So maybe this is why we are weak. But how much more migrants can we take? Whether they be Haitians or whatever. But what I'm saying is, we always say, well, why are we picking it? We're not picking the Haitians. The Haitians are really picking on us, you know, because they are taking advantage of us and they're overwhelming us. But we are sitting back and pondering and wondering how much of them we should allow. And I live in the inner city. But anyhow, let's put some shanty towns of Livekeen out west and on Cable Beach, and then let's see how much we really love them. All right? Because what I'm saying is, I've seen it. All right? My daughter didn't ask me, why Haitians here, you know? She said, why so much, daddy? It's not why they're here. We love them. But they need to love us back and respect us and stop the subjugation. T.G. Morrison mentioned some of the other day. So what I'm saying is no one is addressing the Haitian community because we don't want any violence and any problem and any schisms on our streets. You see? With the motorcycle gangs, et cetera, et cetera. You said something also very important about skills. I went to BTBI also, you know. And let me give a quick story. When you see a young man reach 25 to 35 and he doesn't have a skill, only the skill to kill, that's what is destroying this country. We have a lot of young men around here going on their 40s and don't have a trade. Let me tell you something. I had an electrical problem in my shop the other day. I told you I did the electrician, I went to BT Vibe. You know what caused the problem? A frog and a shorting in my distribution panel. I couldn't believe that. But what I'm saying is, I never called an electrician in my life. So these skills pay off for me. As even though I'm an upholsterer, I have many, that's only two skills. So what I'm saying is, without the trade, they are lost. And the drug trade is a trade, but it's too dubious.
I appreciate you, 52.
Yeah.
Let me squeeze in these other callers now. Thanks very much. Patch all these callers in. I want all of them get to talk today. Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM. You live.
Yeah, good morning, CA.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Okay, now, you know, according to the World Health Organization, they state that anytime any nationality exceeds, this could be a good negotiating power for the Bahamas, if they pay attention to standards. They said anytime any nationality exceeds more than 15%, when you compare them with your local population, it becomes a national security risk. That's what it is. You should not allow any nationality to outnumber or exceed that 15% threshold for national security purpose. We don't do any data or anything like that, so we don't know exactly how many persons are here. Start with. That alone is very, very, very important. But, again, we don't have the infrastructure. We don't have the, our healthcare system is overburdened. Our classroom spaces are being overrun. The other is xenophobic. Nobody is nothing. But those other countries who probably rejected the notion and perhaps would face some sanctions with visas, etc., they are probably adopting America policy, which is putting their citizens first, putting their country first.
Okay.
And that's a good strategy that Trump can't really refute, because he is looking out for America and putting America first. Why can't these countries put their citizens in their country first?
I appreciate
you know, without having sanctions imposed on them. You know, the U.S. occupy the Bahamas, and I heard you stated, you know, you said the Bahamas have the largest concentration of migrants from Haiti here in the Bahamas. What are we showing off for to the detriment of their own citizens? Because you go into PMH now, taxpaying Bahamians who doesn't have insurance are laying out on gurneys. Invite the U.S. official, invite them to do a tour of PMH to look at Bahamian. That's where I would start negotiating. Invite the whole entire persons who are pushing that policy and tell and ask them if they would accept us. If they think we could accept more.
I appreciate you.
If they have any moral compass, they would say no. They would agree to us.
Thank you.
Our politicians are not going to do it, because many of them in the international community, perhaps it seems like they are compromised. You know, bear in mind now that Roker case revealed a whole lot of things. Then his lawyer spoke about this systemic corruption in the armed forces.
And we'll definitely talk about that. But let me squeeze all these callers in there. Get the next caller there, Kermit. I'm trying to get everyone to speak a little bit. Go ahead, caller. You're live. No? Let's move on to the next one then, Kermit. Go ahead, caller. You're live.
Hi, good morning.
Go ahead. You're live. Go ahead.
It's amazing how just see him call this caller show, right? It's amazing. After their contribution, they will say that they are not xenophobic. It's amazing. 52 and the previous callers, yes, their tone has been xenophobic towards Haitians, man. Come on, man. Stop it. Stop that foolish, all right? It's foolishness. Stop it.
I appreciate you, caller. Let's go to the next one. Let me squeeze the next caller. Go ahead, caller. Guy and Rita, AM.
Hello.
I'm trying to squeeze you in. Go ahead.
Oh, yes, sir. Hey, this guy, I just listening to the caller just called just now. He's talking about who's being xenophobic, right? But Haitian people are not being very nice to Bahamian people. They are very violent. And today, in today's world, I'm 62 years of age. Today, they are more rude than ever before. They have an attitude towards Bahamian, and they don't like us. And that's all I have to say about that.
I appreciate you, caller. Let's move to the next one. I'm squeezing everybody in. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, man. Good day, Mr. Nuri.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I can piggyback back on the last call, right? Because what he said is really, really true, right? The Haitian people today, not I ain't talking about the ones I grew up with, because, you know, I still have them as my friends. But the ones what just reach, right? The ones what can't speak English and they ain't no way Farm Road or Blue Road or Market Street or no place else is, right? Them said, they are very, very disgusting and against the Bahamian people. But xenophobia, every nation has xenophobia, because xenophobia is what protects culture. If you ain't xenophobic against your country, against your culture being destroyed, it will be destroyed. So these Haitian people have to understand who in this country, calling this radio talking xenophobia, have to know that every nation has xenophobia, because that's the only way they can exist. Let's be real and have a nice day, sir.
Thank you very much. Let me squeeze the next one in, Kermit. Go ahead, caller. You're live. Squeezing everybody in. Quickly. No, caller? You're not
there? Really do. have a problem in this country with the illegal immigrants. They're just too much. If you go on all the construction sites, only the Haitian people doing all the jobs. There's no more behemoths doing nothing because it's just cheap labor. And everybody know that? Why are we playing like we don't know what's happening in this country? Cheap labor. You go now to these fast food joints now, all the food stores now, only the foreigners working, the said behemoths, knocking up behemoths, them taking the job from behemoths. And the government got to be true. Why won't they bring lawyers and doctors who could take their job from them? They mashing up their own country, and they know it.
Thank
just
you very
because of cheap labor. Anybody in this country know it's cheap labor what mashing up this country, and they know it.
Thank you very
behemoths
much,
are not getting the benefit of their own country.
Thank
only
you.
The foreigners.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Squeeze one more calling. Caller Kermit. Go ahead, caller. I'm trying to squeeze everybody in. Do it quickly. You're live. Live. Do it quickly. You're live.
Yes, sir. Mr. Nuri, with all due respect to some of the callers, right? Some of the callers really, truly have the same before here, you know. You know why I say that? Listen, they saying about the illegal aliens, immigrants and all that. If they know where the illegal aliens work, live, and congregate, why didn't they report it to the authorities? And the gentleman that always call every day and trying to downplay the Bahamas government, regardless of which government it is, I wonder if he ever lived in the United States and been to some of those places over there and see how people live in some of those places, especially the hospitals and stuff like that. Stop bringing your country down, man. It's not going to help you get a residency in the United States of America. Have
okay.
a nice day.
Let me squeeze that one last one in. Go ahead, caller. Squeezing you in.
Yes, let me just say this, right? Xenophobia, to be afraid of foreigners. No one in the Bahamas, based on our industries and we are, could claim xenophobia. You cannot be, when somebody says you're against illegal migration, illegal immigrants, against crime and all these things, that you're xenophobic. This is where these people call in and attack the messengers and ignore the message. Do we have an illegal immigrant problem? They say we got 50,000 illegals. That's international counting. Even the people who said it, they say we have 30,000 people on work permits. They say we have an overburdened hospital system. They say we have an overburdened school system. They say we have an overburdened crisis even thrown into their country. How are these truths become xenophobic when we refuse to address them? Do we have any strategies to address education, to address the hospital, to address these things? No, it's not xenophobia. It's incompetence in governance.
Okay. It seems as if behemoths are not open-minded in terms of CSME. It seems as if behemoths are not open-minded in terms of refugees seeking asylum. They're definitely not open-minded regarding to Haitian migrants being included in this refugee deal in general. That's interesting. I will need to continue this conversation. There's a number of texts I'm going to take pictures of so I can read it in the future. But this has been Guardian Radio AM with T.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.
You in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com. and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.